Hey, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to Joshua chapter 8. We're going to start reading in verse 30. This is the last Joshua passage in our series, and this is where it gets real good. At that time, Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the people of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses. Just so you know, law right there isn't a legal statement, it's Torah. It might be more accurate to translate it narrative. Like when we're talking the narrative, it's the whole narrative. That's Torah. When you hear book of the law, think narrative, think O-N-E. That wasn't in there. That was just a quick excursus. As it is written in the book of Torah of Moses, an altar of uncut stones on which no man has wielded an iron tool. And they offered on it a burnt offering to the Lord, and they sacrificed a peace offering. And there, in the presence of the people of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the Torah of Moses, which had been written. And all Israel, sojourners as well as native born, and their elders and their officials, or your officers and their judges, stood on opposite sides of the ark before the Levitical priests who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord, half of them in front of Mount Gezeb, and the other half in front of Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded at the first to bless the people of Israel. And afterwards, he read all the words of the Torah, the blessings and the curses, according to all that is written in the book of Torah. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did that was not read before the assembly of Israel. And the women and the little ones and the sojourners who lived among them. Man, this is the last thing Joshua does before they fully take the promised land. And this is my question for you today. How quickly do you forget? I had an experience. I'm working on how do you tell the story of Tov that's in the Bible? And I had the opportunity to team up with an amazing skateboard artist. See, what I've learned is that when you're talking to a certain group of people, you have to put wheels on it. Who's heard the song that the dancers sang to before? Okay, who's heard it so many times in this series that you forgot the words? You're singing along, but you don't realize what you're singing. And then all of a sudden, you see it told a different way, and you remember. That's the power of when you incorporate multiple ways of telling, when you incorporate the visual along with the auditory. I got to team up with an amazing skateboard designer and ask, what would happen if we told the story of Tov, and you'll see this in a Bible study we're doing in June, through skateboard design. And Tim, he came up with, this is the story of Tov, and this is the story of Ra in skateboard. And if you're not a skateboarder, they won't make sense, but as we unpack it, we see it. The amazing thing, I was so stoked when I commissioned these pieces, he told me he was doing one other board during that month. He did these two boards and a board for a gentleman named Tony Hawk. The board he's skating right now? Yeah, Tim designed that. And so I was so excited, and so I hung these up in my office, because to me, they're art. I will never skate them. No need to fear. I hung them up in my office, and that was about 6-8 months ago. And for about a month, I saw them, and I was reminded of the story. And then another month went by, and they became background. Does that happen to anybody else? You hang something up, you're super excited, and it becomes background. Hey, maybe I will skate them this morning. Question for you. Who hung this up above their doorpost? That was 11 weeks ago. I have one sitting in my office. At what point did it become background? At what point had you said, choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? And you saw it, but you forgot to say it. You saw it, but you forgot that, nope, today, this isn't a one and done. Today, I'm going to follow Jesus. Yeah, I messed up yesterday, and I was faithful. How long did it take for you to forget? For me, honestly, things fade to the background in about 6 weeks is what I found. 6 weeks, I need a good shot to the chin to remember. Otherwise, it falls to the background. Five, 600 years ago, the church had become all about works. What do we do to get good enough so that God can love us? It's all about the law. And the monk that Scott talked about comes along and goes, no, don't forget the grace. You're saved by grace through faith. It's not of your own works, lest no one should boast. And they remembered. How long did it take before the church started slipping back into works righteousness? How often do we need to be reminded? Wednesday. Anybody know what happens Wednesday?
25 years.
Yeah. 25 years ago, some young whippersnappers, that's you, Jim, they got together and they said, hey, let's start a church where we can reach the unchurched and the underchurched. How long before we forgot? Did we forget? How many times have we remembered? See, we gotta do this, and that's the point of today's text. When you go back to today's text, underline this part, verse 32. And there, in the presence of the people, Joshua wrote on the stones a copy of the story, a copy of the narrative. Joshua wrote it in the middle of all the people. And here's my question for you today. Who are you writing in front of? See, when we write the story, when we tell the story, when we remember the narrative all by ourselves, it's really easy to forget. When other people see us doing it, it's a whole lot easier to remember. Now, don't mishear me here. I want to flip over, and you can do this in your Bible at any time. But when we look at Matthew 6, don't confuse this. This isn't a writing in order to be seen. This was Jesus' own words in Matthew 6:1. He said, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. This isn't about I'm going to put on a performance of remembering the narrative. This is an actually doing it with those around you. And so how do we do that? We turn to Jesus' words, and this is what Jesus says in Acts. As he sends his disciples out, as he's ascending to heaven, Jesus says this. He says, go and be my witness. Now, what's a witness? Don't make this biblical. It's somebody who saw something. If you watched the car wreck, you were a witness. The cop is going to go, what'd you see? See, that's the question. When you're a witness, you got to answer the question, what'd you see? Let me put it this way. What have you seen Jesus do? What's your story? How has Jesus taken your life and transformed it? Where have you personally been at a place where you had despair and Jesus somewhere gave you hope? Where have you been in a place where you were lost and Jesus found you? Where were you in a place where you had an addiction you couldn't shake and somehow Jesus helped you overcome it? See, that's what we're talking about when we're talking witness. And what Jesus says is this. He goes, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth." What I've come to realize is that when we go out to witness, what we love to do is start at the ends of the earth. We love, love, love. Churches are super stoked about this because they're like, finally, somebody's going to talk to the skateboard community. Highly under church people. Cool. We want to start there, but what Jesus tells us is start in Jerusalem. Let me translate that a little bit differently, especially for the note takers. Start here. Start where you are, where people are like you. Where are you where people are like you? Note what I didn't say. I did not say where you are where people like you. I said where you are where people are like you. Number one thing people come into my office for counseling for, as I've reflected on it year after year after year, when spouses come in, usually they're a little bit too much like their spouse to like their spouse. They do that thing. Don't you hate that thing that they do? That you do, but it's not bad when you do it? My wife points this out all the time. I'm like, man, there is clutter everywhere. It's just driving me mad. And she goes, have you looked at your desk? Just ask Pastor Scott. He sits at a desk across from me. He can point out how much clutter bothers me. Here's my question. Where are you where people are like you? Let me give you a hint. It's home. How are you sharing your faith with home? And don't think that this is something Pastor Scott and I came up with. If you've ever looked at the catechism, who remembers catechism? Who remembers confirmation? How did yours go? See, my confirmation, I have mixed memories of it. My biggest memory, and I think Pastor Scott should bring this back. We got all of us sat up on stage, sat up in front of the whole congregation, and Pastor and the elders sat right here where you guys are sitting, and they fired questions at us. And they would say things like, what is the third commandment? And Brian Griner would repeat it from memory. And he'd say, and then the next person would say, and what does that mean? But they weren't really asking what that meant. They were asking, can you resuscitate? Can you recite the, we should fear and love God so that that's in the small catechism. Anybody else have an experience like that? Anybody else remember that? Anybody else think we should bring it back? Yeah, all the confirmands are like, no! No, but see, that wasn't the point. If you have a catechism and you look at it, here's the opening line. It wasn't meant for pastor to make kids memorize. That's not why it was written. Here's the opening line. As the head of the family should teach them in a simple way to his household. And then Luther added hashtag HCA. Yeah, how are you talking about this at home? What's that look like? How are you doing with that? If I could encourage you, I got 14 sermons left. 14 sermons left that I get to preach here. If I can encourage you one thing, do it at home. Do it at home. Do it at home. Share the word of God at home. I don't care if your home is, it's you and you're an empty nester. How are you encouraging your spouse in this? If you've got kids, if you've got grandkids, why? Because they will see it and it will stick. It's the stickiest place around. From there, Jesus says, go from Jerusalem to Judea. Judea is still the same culture. It's the place where people are still like you. It's just a little bit farther away. It's the place where you go normally, where people are still like you, but you got to travel a little bit of distance. Let me translate this. This is work. You're gonna be there anyway. Amen? You gotta show up. And for some of you that aren't working, by the way, you're not off the hook. For the kids, this is school. You've already got stuff to talk about. You're taking the same math test, I almost said Hebrew test. You know, like you do in second grade. No, you're taking the same test. The question, where do you go where people are like you? And I want you to get real nuts and bolts. How do you share this with the people you come in contact every day that don't live under your roof? If you got paper, just stop and think for a second. Who are they? Name some names. Write them down. How do I share the gospel with Scott Hedke, who I'm going to see tomorrow morning sitting right across the desk with him? How do I encourage Krista Kahneman in her faith? How do I talk to Allison and encourage her and pray for her? These are the people, they don't live under my house, but how am I helping them grow in their faiths? How am I being a witness to them? Because this isn't just about those people out there. It's about the people we live with in our own house. How are you bringing that narrative to them? See, what Joshua did is Joshua wrote it down right in the midst of the people who were with him. And let me just warn you, if you haven't done that already, Jesus says Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria. Samaria is about the same distance as Judea, but it's a cultural difference. You got to learn a new language. You got to learn new jokes. You got to eat weird foods. Don't start in Samaria until you've already done it in Jerusalem and Judea. Don't go there until you got a stronghold right at home. It's okay to pause. Somebody else, that's their target audience. Somebody else, that's the one where God's going. That already is their Jerusalem and Judea. Just stop for a second. Don't start in Samaria. Don't start with the weird people that aren't like you. And trust me, there are people, they look at you and go, they're the weird people that aren't like me. God's got this. Don't start. Where's your Samaria? Don't go there yet. See, before you go there, here's the only question you got to ask. Do I already have HCA? Do I already have the home court advantage? Because if you do, then when you go to Samaria, you take your team with you. You go as a home team. I mean, you're going to see it next week, that we're going as a whole team. It's the whole confirmation class. They've got that home court advantage, and together they're venturing into Samaria as we bring tons and tons of food to people that would be hungry. But I want to just close with this. How are you doing it? Maybe you look back at these 11 weeks and you go, man, I have failed miserably. I set out a goal that I was going to do A, and I've done G. Okay. Own that. How do you start again? How do you write the story again in front of your people? Just take a second and ask that. What's the next month look like? How do you encourage the people you live with in their faith? As you're struggling with that, as you're wrestling with that, let's pray. Good and gracious God, you called us to be witnesses first in Jerusalem, right where we are, right where people are like us. You've entrusted us each with all kinds of gifts and talents. Show us how to use them. Show us how to share the gospel with our spouse, because they need to hear it again. And we do. God, show us where to share it with our kids, our grandkids, our coworkers. God, continue to just plant these roots deep that we come back to your narrative. The narrative that you loved us so much that you left heaven, came to earth, and died on the cross for us. God, let us tell that over and over and over so it doesn't fall into the background, but that it flows through every fiber of our body. God, shape us by your word, just like you shaped your disciples when you taught them to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.